Last night, after our evening service here, I went back home and I had a chance to watch a film on television. It was a film titled The Notebook, and it told the story of an elderly man reading and rereading a real-life story from a notebook. He was reading it to an elderly woman who was living with what the doctors described as seemingly irrecoverable memory loss. Towards the end of the story, as he read it, she realised that the story was about her. Her name was Ali, and the man reading the notebook story was Noah, her beloved husband of many years. And when her memory for that moment came flooding back, she asked him, "How long have we got?" "It was 5 minutes the last time," he replied. During that short time of regained memory, all of their love came flooding back to her, and they danced and they embraced. And just shortly afterwards, when memory loss took her from him again, in tears, Noah looked at the title page of the notebook, the story written by Ali, his wife, and inscribed with the message, "Read this to me, and I will come back to you." One of the delights of growing older is that you have so many memories stored away in your brain. And you can look back with pleasure on happy events in the past and learn from the experience. These shared memories bind us to our loved ones, to our school chums, to our work colleagues, to our family, to our friends. And meeting up again after a time of separation, you can go over old memories, you can laugh, you can pick up the threads just where you left off. The very real pain when memory loss happens is that you can't recall these memories. And often the pain is more acute for the family and friends around you. Memory is a very powerful thing. And the way we behave is often influenced by remembering what we've done in similar circumstances before. And so when in that upper room in Jerusalem, Jesus took bread and wine at the Last Supper, and when he said, "Do this in memory of me," he was calling up a very important faculty. Our human brain is a machine for storing memories, much like a computer stores information. Both are skilled at retrieving data from the past, of linking it with other data, and then calculating what to do in the present and what to expect in the future. Disaster strikes if a computer crashes and you can no longer access the data which is stored in it. And just as distressing is loss of memory in human beings. And so, like the computer, we have to learn to manage our memories. We confess the guilty memories to God and accept his forgiveness and stop worrying. The sad memories, well, we put them into perspective with the better times. And remember that it wasn't all bad. And we keep the important lessons that we've learned near the forefronts of our minds so that we can reflect again and again on just what is important in life. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Keep on doing this in memory of me." Because frequent repetition of the sacramental actions together in church reminds us of Jesus. It reminds us of his love and how he died for us on the cross and of the importance of self-sacrifice in our relationship with God and with each other. Eating bread and drinking wine in remembrance of Jesus reminds God, our loving Heavenly Father, that we approach Him through the sacrifice of His Son on our behalf. Imagine at the pearly gates if St. Peter was there trying to decide whether to admit someone to heaven. And he said to the person who came before him, "Tell me about the good deeds you've done." And the applicant for heaven lists a few kind acts and is told that each of these will earn him 2 points. "Is that all?" he splutters. "At this rate, it's only by the grace of God that I'll ever get into heaven." "You've hit the jackpot," Peter cries. 2,000 points. Come on in. You see, every time we reenact the Lord's Supper, we are pleading the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross as our only ticket to eternal life. We manage our memory and we remind God. And finally, we remind ourselves. For every time we partake in this service, especially on this night, we remind ourselves of the way that we should live. If Jesus sacrificed his life for me on the cross of Calvary, then what can I sacrifice for him? All Jesus wants is some of our time spent in prayer and in worship. Jesus wants us to adore him, as we were doing the other night there, to tell him that we love him. He wants us to confess our shortcomings and to accept his forgiveness, to thank him for all the good gifts that he's given us, and to ask him for the basic necessities of life, for ourselves and for others. And in addition, he wants us to sacrifice ourselves for others, as he did, using our time and our talents and our money in serving others, loving them as Jesus loves us, putting our wants and desires second and helping others first. In short, this time of worship tonight reminds God of his promises to us, and it reminds us to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. That's the message for this Maundy Thursday, and all we have to do is keep remembering it. Amen. And may God bless his word when we read it and when we share it.